Genesis chapter 22, I want to talk to you about Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. I want to talk to you about the Lord, the name of the Lord. Stop your worrying and your fear. Amen. Stop your worrying and your fear. I want to talk to you about the Lord. And Genesis chapter 22, verse number 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you'd be with us now and help us, Lord, as we look at this, at your name, Lord, and look at what the lesson is that you have for us here with this name, Lord, and how you and I, how we, Lord, as Christians should trust you, Lord, how we should cling to you alone, and Lord, how our relationship should be so strong that we trust you, that you are the Lord that provides, and you see everything. In the mountain of the Lord, it shall be seen. In the mountain of the Lord, it shall be seen. Lord, help us to always remember that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, a lot of people worry today. A lot of Christians worry. They spend their time worrying and not trusting. They spend their time in worry and fear and doubts and live in that land sort of doubts and fears. God didn't save you for you to live in a land of doubts and fears. God didn't save you for you to live in a land of worry. That you worry about everything. That is the opposite of faith. That is the human reaction to a trial, is to worry. Do you understand that? That is the human action. That is not a spiritual action. The Bible says you and I are to walk in the Spirit. When you worry and you have fear and worry, that is the human response to things that come up, to your challenges of life. The spiritual response is to trust in that Jehovah Jireh, the God, the Lord that provides. Amen. He is our provider. And I feel the need this morning to brag on the Lord God. I feel the need that, Lord, that we ought to brag on His name, that we ought to lift His name up high, and it is holy. Amen. And we ought to lift His name up, that Jehovah Jireh, because He does provide in so many ways. Time would never permit me to tell you of how many times He has provided for me and for this ministry. How He has taken care of me through thick and thin. How He has always met my needs and exceeded them and given me the desires of my heart over and over again. But just my experience would never do to tell you of. It would never do. Why? Because our authority lies in the Word of God. And never our experiences. Our experiences, if they bear witness to the Scriptures, then they can surely be added to the testimony. But let's look at what the Bible says about Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. Number one, He provided Himself a lamb for my soul. He provided Himself a lamb. Isaac, the Bible says in Isaac, in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. You know, God never made Abraham follow through with giving up his son, his only son, did He? No, but Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides, He provided His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for sinners. The just for the unjust, that He might bring them to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, made alive by the Spirit of God. No more of a prophetic word could ever have been said than what was said thousands of years before Christ was here. Amen. God will provide Himself a lamb. He sure will. Amen. He sure did. God sure did provide Himself a lamb. Turn to John chapter 8, verse number 56. I think we get a hint of this here. What is talked about here? Do you like how Scripture just matches up everywhere? Amen. Not, it doesn't contradict. It matches up everywhere. That's why you have to read from Genesis to Revelation, friend. You ought to have some time where you do that every year, where you read from Genesis to Revelation, because then you get a good understanding of the Word of God through, all the way through. If you cherry pick different things out, you miss some things along the way. Nothing wrong with doing that in studies and everything else, but some time of reading ought to be done from Genesis to Revelation so you get the whole story. Amen. Because there's so many lessons for our admonition in the Old Testament that people completely overlook that are there, like this one right here that we're talking about. John chapter 8, verse number 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. It's important, isn't it? It says he rejoiced to see. I'm going to turn there too. Here, I had it written down, but I'm going to turn there. How did he rejoice to see his day? Well, I believe right what we're talking about here. I believe he understood. I believe Abraham understood that God was going to provide himself. You say, do you think he understood everything? Probably not. He understood enough, though. Amen. It doesn't matter anyway. It's inspired Scripture. Amen. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. What is that? That's that lamb that was provided that the Lord Jehovah would provide. Right there. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. What happened there? Well, he said, I am, for a reason, because that's God. That's why he said that. He said, yep, before Abraham was, I am. They knew he was God. Amen. John chapter 1, verse number 29, the next day, who is this lamb that was provided? John chapter 1, verse number 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. This is that lamb. This is that Lamb of God. This is the lamb that Jehovah Jireh would provide. The Lord will provide. The lamb was talked about all the way in the Old Testament. Amen. God had provided himself a lamb because no other man alive was worthy. Turn to Revelation chapter 5, please. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? You see that, those seals? There's only one worthy to loose those seals. Amen. When the king puts a seal on something, he's the only one that can loose it. Amen. And Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So when you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, amen, that's his seal. What are you sealed unto? Who loosens the seal? Jesus does. When does he do that? The day of redemption. When you stand before him. That's when it's loosened, my friend. You better start trusting in the Lord God that provides. The Lord Jehovah that provides. Stop looking to other people. Stop looking to other things. And stop looking to your own strength. You're right. You couldn't keep yourself saved 5 seconds. Neither could I. It's the Lord God Jehovah that provided the Lamb. And the Lamb is the only one that can loosen the seal. And he loosens the seal when? On the day of redemption. You're sealed under the day of redemption. When you stand before him and you are made whole completely. 100% new. And we shall be like he is. It is. And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. There's that slain lamb. Having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. That's a really neat study, by the way. Brother Russ and I and his family, we were doing that all the way back. Remember that, Brother Russ? We were talking about that in the car all the way back on the van. One of those trips, and we were just going back and forth in Scripture, just cross-referencing those things. It was a good time, amen? But that's a good study you ought to look into sometime. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 7, he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four... Yeah, did you see that? And he took... And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Who took the book? Who was on the throne? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. What did he do? He took the book, didn't he? Isn't that what it says? What is that? What are you getting at, preacher? I'm getting at a Trinity. That's what I'm getting at. Amen. Okay. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Right? Because there was no man except the God-man. Do you see that? There was no man in heaven or under the earth or anywhere that could open, loose the seals and open the book except the God-man, Christ Jesus. Amen. And I beheld, I heard the voice of many angels. Oh, let me back up here. I'm sorry. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Yeah, every blood, right? Amen. Out of every kindred, by thy blood, the Lamb. If you don't come through the blood, friend, you don't come at all. It's a bloody gospel that saved you. It is an absolutely bloody gospel that saved you. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's bloody. That's right. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne of the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb, amen. Worthy is the Lamb. When he was found weighed in the balances, there was no want, but he was a lamb without blemish, without spot or wrinkle. The perfect Lamb of God, Jehovah Jireh. You just look at that text as we look at this. No man in heaven or on earth, neither under the earth, in the midst of those four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. God saw the sacrifice. You know what that the Bible says here? It says the Lord saw. It says, for in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What is it? What is seen? God Almighty saw the need of man, knew the need of man, saw it, foresaw, foreknowledge. Amen. Wasn't surprised by it. He knew it. No, God never had a problem. In the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Think about that for a second. That perfect Lamb of God, that Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides, provided that perfect sinless Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. What the Abrahamic covenant or the Mosaic covenant could not do, the new covenant written in blood accomplished. It is finished. Hallelujah, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. You better understand that today, friend, that Jesus Christ has power on earth to forgive sins. God provided instantly. Said Spurgeon, when the need pressed urgently, beloved, was Isaac nearer to death than sinful man was near to hell? Was that knife closer to the throat of beloved Isaac than the axe of the executioner was near the neck of every sinner? Yes, to the neck of the whole race of man. We have so sinned and gone astray that it was not possible for God to wink at our transgressions. He must visit our iniquities with just punishment, which was nothing less than eternal death. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. The Lord provides. He provided Christ. And if you only turn to him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then he will in no wise cast you out. Why would you fret after you've trusted in him to the saving of your soul? Why would you believe that he would turn his back on you? Why would he forget? Why would God forget the Lamb's blood that was shed and applied to your soul upon repentance and faith in Christ alone? He is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. Believest thou this? Do you believe that he is able to do this? The Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Number two, he provides over and over again for his people called by his name. He not only provides salvation to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, but he provides for his people over and over and over again. You are called by his name. By the way, his very name means that he will provide. So why do we look around at everything else? Why do we fret and worry and look at ourselves and say, well, how are we going to get through this? I don't know, the same way you got through everything else. By the grace of God! Amen. What, did you somehow think it was because of you? Because of your brilliance? There was a man that thought that, Nebuchadnezzar, and God turned him into an animal and had him run around in the forest for a little while until he figured out that the Most High God reigneth. You know, sometimes God may let us run around in the forest a little bit for a while, scratching ourselves like a dog trying to figure out what we're going to do when we decide we're not going to trust him. Amen. When we decide that we take our eyes off of that Lord God, Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides, when we take our eyes off him and put it on ourselves, trust me, I look in the mirror all the time, there's not much to trust in. Not much to trust in. Oh, I'll trust in my excellent skill. No, that doesn't work. That'll fail. Amen. I'll trust in my work ethic and everything else. Well, that's good. You're supposed to have good character and work ethic, but that won't do. No, you've got to trust in the Lord God. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. You've got to keep your eyes on the one that provides. I mean, you might have a lot of struggles right now. You might have big financial burdens. Yeah? God can take care of it. Amen? God can take care of it. He always has, hasn't he? Is anything too hard for God? It's one of his names, Jehovah Jireh. Think about that as a memorial so we never forget the Word of God. In the Word of God, it says one of God's names is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provides one of his descriptions, how it describes him. Amen? In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. You know, there's no contradiction here. The Bible says in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, and the Lord God Jehovah provides. It means both of those things. He sees, and he knows exactly where we're at, all of the time. When you're in your greatest conflict, the Lord God sees exactly where you're at. And because he sees all, and because he knows all, he's not surprised by the affliction that you're in. He's not surprised by the trial that you're in. He's not surprised by the challenge that you're in right now. He's not surprised that you have some needs right now. God's not surprised. God in his foreknowledge knows right where you are at, and he sees in the mount of the trial you're in. I like this. One man said, just in the last distressing hour, the Lord displays delivering power. Amen? Man, I can't tell you how many times that's true in my own life. I mean, right at the deadline. Right at the deadline of things, of needs and things that had to be met. Right at the deadline. And in came the Lord right away, sent somebody in to take care of it. Many times I was on my knees begging God for money, begging God for things that I need just to survive and to be able to pay rent and all those other things that I had to do. Many times, and then right at the last minute, that delivering power of God came through. 5 minutes before quitting time, that's right. And that happened more than once. I used to go back in my back office, lock that door, and start yelling out to God. Man, they must have thought I was crazy around there. The next door neighbor, they must have thought I was nuts, man. I was out there. I'd shut that door. Man, I'd start shouting to God. Amen. That room, man. I'd start shouting to him in that back room. Just cried out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is he? I need it now, God. I have a need now, God. Right. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Why? Come boldly before the throne of God. Did he not smack the waters and say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Amen? Amen? You think God's a sissy or something? Ooh, that speech kind of offended me and scared me. You're talking about a holy God here. His men talked bold to him. I mean, Moses is like, God, just blot me out, will you? Why don't you just blot me out of your book? That's right, holy violence. That's right. God said, I'll blot out who I blot out, boy.
Amen.
Blot out who I want to. Why? Because he's not a man. No. God loves boldness. God wants you to come boldly. God wants you to ask him. That's not disrespectful to come boldly to God. That's right. That's right. It's very humbling to do that in the first place. That's right. When you have no one else to turn to in this world, listen, you know some of the boldest men I've ever met in my life were men that humbled themselves, came before God, and they were bold as lions with God in the prayer closet, and then they had power with men. Right? Yeah, there's a difference in boldness and arrogance. You won't get arrogant with God. He'll drop you down. That's right. And meekness and weakness, that's right. There's a difference. Right? But when the Bible says you cry out to God, that's exactly what it means, cry out. Just like it means lift up your voice like a trumpet, cry aloud, spare not. Amen. There's some times when you got to cry out. We're not demanding God anything. We're pleading his promises. That's right. Listen, when everything in this world is turned against you and every man is turned against you, you better be able to go to God and you better be able to cry out and pour your heart out to God. Amen. The moment of danger is the place where we shall see surprising grace. Some of the greatest trials you find yourself in is where the grace of God comes through and shows you instantly his power. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, please, verse number 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? I want you to think about this for a second, okay? Jesus, the apostle said, Lord, we've left all to follow you. Right? They left all to follow him. I think of this young married couple up here in the front row. What'd they come in? The car that they barely got everything into or got everything gathered into and just what they had just to take off and do the will of God.
Right.
Amen? Just, let's go. We got to trust the Lord. We got to go. Amen? Yeah. It's like, how's that all gonna work out? We didn't know. God knew. We didn't know. Amen. God provided. The Lord God provided. That's right. A job and a place to live. That's right. The Lord God provided. Lord God, he used. He uses other. He used his people. Amen. Why? Because they actually believed it too. That's why. Amen. Because the Lord God provides. To hear, okay, you can stay in this a trailer or a mobile camper, I guess. Yeah, camper. You stay in this camper for a little while here. Amen. Why? Now, Brother Paul probably didn't, what am I gonna use this camper for? I got a house and everything else. Right? You stayed in that camper when you first came here. Amen. He stayed in it when he first came here. Where were you at, Brother Andrews? Is that where you parked that thing at? How long were you there, brother? God used that thing, amen? Amen. That thing's getting more use than you ever thought it'd get, Brother Paul, when you bought that. I don't know how long ago you bought that. But I guarantee it's been used probably for something different than what he thought. Amen? But God used it. Why? Because the Lord God provides. Now he's moving into an apartment in a couple days. Other people come and say, listen, God will provide for you. You got to seek first the kingdom. Amen? Put God first. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? I don't know, but I think we shrink probably when we get to work. I know we shrink our hair, man. We just lose our hair and everything. It starts going, right? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Amen. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Man, I got enough evil to get through today. Let alone being worried about tomorrow. You can't take it upon you. It's too much. So you give it to God. And you trust the Lord for his provisions. Because he is the Lord God Jehovah that provides. God sees it, amen. He knows where you're at. Abraham sought the Lord's kingdom first in his righteousness, and all these things were added unto him. You think about Abraham's life for a second. God said, okay, I'm going to make a great nation of you. Well, Abraham's getting old. He's near 100 years old. He's like, well, God, I know you said you make a great nation of me, but I haven't got a son. I mean, I don't even have a son. Well, what did he do? He lost faith. He trusted his wife's voice and hearkened to the voice of his wife, and we got a lot of trouble today because of it. Still a lot of trouble because of it. Because God said, listen, whatever comes from Abraham's loins, I'm going to make a great nation. So what happened? Ishmael. That's what happened. And God said, he shall be a great nation too. 12 princes shall arise from him also. And all this. And what happened? Well, we see it. Wild man. Be like a wild man. His hand will be against every man. We can't prove that King James Bible wrong, can you? You know, I don't know what your needs are today, but I'm sure that in this church there are many needs, but all these things shall be added unto you if you seek the first the kingdom. Put in the Lord's hands. You trust the Lord through it all. You obey the Lord God and his voice. Abraham left his God said, I'm gonna make a great nation of you, Abraham. Abraham's like, I don't have any kids. I have no children. I have no children at all. I gotta stop saying kids. I'm trying to start saying children more. Yeah, kids are goats, yeah. But I gotta quit saying that. I should say children more. I'm working on that, okay? But anyway, I had somebody email me. They weren't being unkind. They just emailed, they say, you know, I love your preaching, but could you stop calling kids children kids? I just laughed. I said, well, you're right, actually. But should is probably not, well, doesn't sound right. But the Bible doesn't call. It calls them children. Amen. But anyway. But, you know, you think about that, right? He had no children at all, right? He's out there, and he's wandering around, and God says, well, I'm going to make a great nation. I'm going to give you all this land, everything else. And Abraham trusted God by faith. He didn't see the promise. He didn't see the fullness of that promise at all. He just trusted God. He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It said imputed righteousness, right? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, he knows just what your needs are. He won't fail you if you trust in him alone and you go to your Father. When we take thought and worry about our needs and worry about our provision and we don't trust him, we're sinning. Your worrying will not grow you one bit. It will not meet your needs one bit. It might give you a heart attack. Stress is known to do that. Amen? Take years off of your life because of worrying. See, I'm worried about my children. I'm worrying about this. I'm worrying about that. You know what? You better just start going to the Lord and praying about it because that worrying is not doing you any good. Jesus said it doesn't help. It's not going to add one cubit to your stature. You're not going to be any taller. You're not going to make you any bigger. It's not going to make the mountain go any. It's not going to lower the mountain. It's not going to remove the mountain. It's not going to give you the power to get through it. You need the grace of God. You need to turn to Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, and He will provide for your needs. Whatever trial that is, whatever you're going through, whether it's health, whether it's finances, money, whatever it may be, you're a wayward child, whatever it is. Things in your own life, spiritual battles that you face, whatever it is. Imagine Abraham, that extreme situation that he was in at this time. So we're back on that mount, right? And Abraham's getting ready to sacrifice his only son. Right? God said, okay, I'm going to make a great nation, and Isaac shall your seed be blessed. I'm going to make a great nation of you, and now you're going to sacrifice your own son. Go up to there and sacrifice your own son. Right? Now, I happen to believe that before Abraham even said the Lord God will provide a lamb for himself, when he said that, I think he knew that God was going to, because Abraham said, well, all right, God told me that he was going to make a great nation out of Isaac, and in my seed shall all the nations be blessed, everything else. God promises, so I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if he's going to raise him from the dead. I don't know what he's going to do to him. I have no idea what he's going to do to him, but I know one thing. God said he's going to live, so I'm just going to obey God, because God promised me that my seed be blessed. So he would make him a great nation. I would inherit all this land, everything else. So I just believe God. So I don't know what he's going to do. I'm going to do what he told me to do, but I believe that he's going to take care of me. He had faith in the most extreme situation possible. God not only intervened, said Spurgeon, when the death of Isaac was imminent, but also when the anguish of Abraham had reached its highest pitch. You know, God intervenes when he knows that you're at the end of yourself and you can't take any more. You're just done. Your anguish is built up, your pain, and you're about ready to burst. Then the God of the Bible, he comes through, the Lord that provides. He comes through and he cares for you right at that time. And he lifts you up and he takes care of you. When there's nothing left of you. Why? Because you've come to the end of yourself and you're about ready to burst. The patriarch's faith never wavered, but we must not forget that he was a man like ourselves, and no father could see his child offered up without an inward agony, which surpasses all description. The anguish of so perfect a man as Abraham, a man who felt all the domestic affections intensely, as every truly godly father must feel them, and who loved his son as much as he loved his own life, must have been unspeakably great. What must have been the force of faith which enabled the man of God to master himself, to go contrary to the current of human nature, and deliberately to stand ready to sacrifice his Isaac? He must have been wound up to a fearful pitch of anguish when he lifted up the knife to kill his son. But just then, the angel arrested his hand, and God provided the ram as the substitute in the moment of his utmost misery. Sometimes we're in extreme situations and we become desperate to see the Lord do something. But when we are at the brink of anguish and come to the end of ourselves, then the Lord comes through. Then he meets our needs to teach us not to be dependent upon ourselves, but to depend upon him, to see that his grace is sufficient for thee. Sometimes you and I ask God to remove things and God just tells us, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. I will not remove it from you, but I will give you grace to go through it. That's right. Why? Because the trying of your faith worketh patience. Right? And the Bible says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But you can fret about all those things, bills and money and just the world the way it is and everything else. Hey, I know the world's waxing worse and worse, and the best thing I can do is, number one, pray, and number two, live for God and preach the truth as long as I can until I'm gone. But I don't care who's going to be the next president, to be honest with you. They're all antichrist anyway, so that's just, there you go. Just get it out in the open there and just go preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Just go do the will of God, because that's all we're going to be able to do. What's that? Trump loves the Bible. No, he loves 2 Corinthians. Trump does. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Guy is such a jokester. That's sad. What's really sad is people are actually falling for that nonsense. They actually believe that guy is like a real legit guy. That guy was made in a factory somewhere, okay? All right? He was programmed in a factory somewhere. All right? Brother Russ, you know where he was programmed, don't you? Fordham University, right? That's right. Jesuits. Anyway, they're going to fall too someday. God's going to crush them too. That's right. Babylon, Babylon. But the God of the Bible, He provides for us. I can't tell you how many times I had to come to the end of myself, though, and have no hope but God. No man could fill the need. Time had run out. But God. Amen. Every time. The end of yourself. And no man could meet your need. Sometimes no other man knows about your need. But God does, and He meets it, and He takes care of you. Why? Because He is the Lord God, Jehovah, and He does provide. Where will He provide? He will provide for us in the mount, that is to say, in the place of our trial. Right in the place of our trial. When we reach the place where the fatal deed of utmost obedience is to be performed, then God will intervene. You desire Him to provide for you when you lift up your eyes and see the mount afar off. He does not choose to do so, but in the mount it shall be seen. In the place of the trial, in the heat of the furnace, in the last extremity, Jehovah will be seen, for He will see to it. And it shall become a proverb with you, in the mount Jehovah shall be seen. That is to say, when you cannot see, the Lord will see you and see to your need. For His eyes are upon the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. Amen. You will not need to explain to God your difficulties and the intricacies of your position. He will see it all. When you just cry out to Him, He sees it. Jesus Christ is God, and the Father provides by Jesus Christ. What does Philippians 4:19 say? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You believe that? You believe He will? Have you been tried in these things? Have you been through the furnace of afflictions and the trials of your life? It might be a health problem. Well, you need to go to God for it. Remember the woman that had the blood and the infirmity? And she went to all the physicians of the earth and they couldn't heal her, could they? Right? And she went to the great physician. He was able. He is able to heal. You need to go to God for those needs. If you have a financial burden, you need to go to God with it. You need to take it to the Lord, because He is the Lord God Jehovah that provides. And He sees you. And you know, when He provides is when you're right in that trial, right in the midst of it, right when everything is just, you have no hope in your sight. You can see nothing. But the eyes of faith see Christ. You might see people, maybe family that you want to see saved, and just people that aren't living for God like they should. And they're just... You might say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, you need to pray for Him. You need to pray for Him. Because the Lord God, He'll provide a lamb for Himself. He provided him. And we need to pray for those people. We need to go to God for those people. When we've tried to reason with them through the Scriptures, and we try to give them the truth, and they will not hear it, then you need to go to God. You need to continue to go to God for them and ask God to break them. Amen. You know the real problem is, you and I are scared of prayer. That's the real problem. See, I don't think so. What do you mean by that? We are scared to pray the things that we need to pray in order to see the power of God. We really are. We're scared to pray, well, God, take everything away from him and bring him down to nothing. We're scared to pray that. You know why? Because we don't want to see our loved ones go through that. But I'm going to tell you, some people won't get right with God until they are brought down with nothing. Most people, they won't get right with God until they are destitute, on the ground, crawling, and trying to reach the hem of the garment of the Savior, that they may be made whole. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, you think it's pride, and you have to ask God to break their pride. That's the reason why men don't turn to Christ, because of their pride. They are proud. They are proud. And they will not. The Lord God, He sees it, though. He knows where they're at. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen. God knows where they're at, and God will provide. But you know what? We need to go to God, and we need to pray. And we need to pray, God, break these people. I don't care if you have to throw them in a jail cell till they're brought down to nothing, till they get right with God. God, do whatever you have to them. I want them to be saved, Lord. However you have to bring them down, Lord, whatever you have to do. If it's with the pains of death, then bring them down, Lord, that they could be saved. that they would come to the end of themselves. That's tough to pray, isn't it? Because we wouldn't want to see ourselves in a prison cell somewhere, would we? Right? That's right. But we wouldn't want to see ourselves there, so we wouldn't want to pray like that. We want to pray. But you know what? Some people, they won't stop until God stops them. Until God stops them. And we need to pray for those people just like that. Lord, bring them down, that they would look up to you. It wasn't until the prodigal was in the pig pen that he looked up to his father. The problem is, and by the way, if you keep helping people out of the pig pen, you ain't helping them. Yeah, you're not helping them. You can't help them out of the pig pen. Only Christ can bring them out. They've got to look up and see the Father's house. They've got to get right. Yeah, the humanist roundtable next door, a bunch of antichrist devils. Look into their own flesh to save them. Look into their own flesh for the answers. Preaching against Christ. Bible says, let them be accursed. Amen. That's what it says. But you know what? They look to them. If you look to yourselves, if we look to ourselves and not look to God for the answers, to the Lord God that provides, just know that God sees you where you're at. Whatever trial you have right now going on, maybe it's a, you know, difficulty at home or husband and wife or just the challenges that you face financially or whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. I know who has the answer. The answers are found in the Lord. The answers are found there. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, then you need to turn to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, because he provided that Lamb for your soul. He shed his own blood on the cross for your soul. And if you don't come through that blood, you don't come at all, friend. The Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You must believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, repent and turn away from this wicked world and turn to Christ alone who can save your soul, that Lamb of God. Maybe you're in whatever, maybe you have trials at work. Maybe work is difficult. You got to go to the Lord and you got to pray. Maybe God won't make it easier for you, but maybe he'll give you the grace to get through it. Maybe God won't take the trial out that you have. Maybe it's unbearable hours. Maybe it's unbearable people to be around. But maybe what God, and I know what God will do if he does not take you out of it by the authority of Scripture, he will give you the grace to go through it. He will give you the grace to deal with people that aren't easy to deal with. Amen? He'll give you the grace to deal with people that aren't loving and kind. He'll give you the grace to have a good testimony through the hardships. Amen? God. Why? Because the Lord God, Jehovah Jireh, he provides. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. God knows where you're at. He'll see it and he'll provide for your need. He sees right where you're at, wherever you're at. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth of them. Thank you, Father, that you provide for us, that you meet our every need, that, Lord, you take care of us. Dear God, we're not worthy, but the Lamb is worthy. And thank you for the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father, for all you do for us. And Lord, I just pray that you'd continue to work in our hearts and our lives. And you continue to help us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Keep our hearts fixed, O God, on you. And to know that even in the darkest trial that we live in, the hardest time that we're facing, the greatest mount of affliction, or the amount of a health problem or anything else that we face, Lord, work or job or anything else, Lord, in that mount, the Lord will see it, and he will provide for us, and he will take care of us. He will give us the grace to go through it, or he will lift us out of it. He will remove that mountain, Lord, if he so chooses. But, Lord, I just pray, Father, you'd help us to remember you in all things. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God that provides. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.